Let's pose that question again. John, was it worth it? In your old age, when you should have been surrounded by your children and your grandchildren, but instead you were imprisoned on an island out in the Mediterranean Sea, was it worth it? Or how about you or me? Is it worth giving an offering to God when we could keep the money for ourselves, perhaps take a vacation with it? Is it worth preparing lessons and teaching our young friends here at church? Is it worth volunteering at the local community food shelf? Is it worth it when your ideas and work seem to be unnoticed or underappreciated? Really, is it worth to live kindly and generously? Is it worth it to keep showing kindness to an annoying neighbor? Is it worth your time and energy to worship when part of you says, let's just let it go for this weekend? Is it worth investing time in God? Now, we think questions like this sometimes, don't we? In times of disappointment and frustration, we ask, is it really worth it? And here's what John says to us today. One day you will stand before the one that you have served, and God will look you in the eye, and you will know for sure that it was worth it. Not because it was easy or you were always successful, but you will know it is worth it because at the very center of human history, at the very center of heaven, there is a throne, and on that throne sits a lamb that was slain, and he is worthy. He's worthy of every act of obedience that you ever offer to him. He's worthy of every temptation that you resist. He's worthy of every song of worship that you ever sing. He's worthy of every act of service. This lamb is worthy. He's worthy of my life. He's worthy of your life. He's worthy of this church's focus and attention. And it's this vision that John pours out with such power. John has a serious purpose here. He's writing to people and churches that are struggling with problems and threats and persecution. And he says, when you have problems, when you feel afraid, when you're tempted to give up, come again to the throne room of heaven. Look again at the one that's seated on the throne. There's encouragement in the throne room. John says in this great image, I saw a scroll sealed with seven seals. Now, in John's day, a document like this would be somebody's will. Think of this scroll as God's will and plan for the earth. It's God's dream and plan to set things right here on this planet. There is a scroll, and that means there's a plan to be fulfilled. And even though life is often messy and we ask why, to so many things, there is a plan. There's going to be an answer. This world is not a random accident. This world is a story, and it has an author. My life, your life, is a story that also has an author. There is a scroll. There is a meaning and purpose to it all. But John has this question then. Who is worthy to open that scroll? Who is worthy to rule the earth? Who can set God's plan in motion? Who can set things right? Who is able to answer the questions of life? And the answer comes back, nobody. And that is our pain, because throughout history, leaders are anointed and presidents are elected and promises for the future are made. Just wait till next year. And this time, peace and justice will triumph. But it doesn't, and they won't. Forget about fixing the rest of the world. What about my own life? We make plans. We make resolutions. We have good intentions. And if I can't change the world, at least I can improve myself. But we're not so good at that either, are we? And that's why John weeps. He weeps for the beauty of the world that could be. He weeps for the violence in the community, in the workplace, in the home, for the innocent and young lives lost. He weeps for the oppressive poverty and shootings and arson and hostility. But John weeps for his own failure too. If you've ever wept, if you've ever lost sleep because you have messed up something in your own life, then you have wept the tears of John. John goes, who can set this in motion? And it appears that there is no one that can do it. God's plan will not be fulfilled, it seems. But keep looking. Because someone comes to John, taps him on the shoulder and says, do not weep, because there is one who is worthy. In all the universe, there is one person who is able to set things right again. And John keeps looking and he sees a lamb come. And he hears a great song being sung to this lamb. You are worthy. You are worthy. He's worthy to set the world right. In the moments that remain, I want to notice from this passage a couple of reasons why Jesus, the Lamb, is worthy of all the devotion that I can give to him. And there's two things. First of all, in verse 9, it says there's a great song being sung about this Lamb. They sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. That's a striking thing to say. You're worthy because you were killed. What did Jesus suffer that made him more than just another martyr? Because other people have died for their faith. Other people have suffered for even longer periods of time than Jesus did. But the Bible accounts use various words to describe Jesus' emotional state. As he prayed the night before he went to the cross, in the Garden of Gethsemane, you may remember that he told his disciples that he was overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Luke says in his gospel that the distress was so great that Jesus' sweat was like drops of blood. Luke says he's in agonia. That's the word that from which we get our word agony. Matthew says that he experiences dread. Mark describes Jesus as being distressed and horror-stricken, same word that is used for a nightmare. And Jesus begs to God in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, let this cup pass from me. What cup is he asking to be released from? It's not only physical suffering that makes the Lamb worthy, because throughout his life, Jesus had astounded others with his courage, and others have faced death with courage and faith too. But Jesus is sweating, praying, flat on the ground, overwhelmed with anguish, begging to be spared. But Jesus is not just facing pain and death. There's a spiritual agony going on with bearing the brokenness of the whole world, including yours and mine. And here we encounter great mystery, almost above our ability to understand or to imagine. Let's go at it this way. Think of a time when you realized that you had done something wrong and hurt someone or made a big mistake of some kind. Think about the most painful experience of guilt or regret that you've ever had. It's hard, isn't it? It's painful. You betrayed or you disappointed someone that you love. You said hurtful words, and as soon as you said them, you wished that you could pull them right back in. You betrayed or disappointed somebody that you love. You lied or you stole. You were in agonia over it. Think about that. And then multiply that experience times all the times of your life that you messed up. And then multiply that the billions and billions of times for all the brokenness of every person of the human race. Imagine the inner pain of everybody's deceit and gossip and betrayal, every act of abuse or family violence, the heartache of all broken relationships, the devastation of war, the crime, the prejudice. Imagine the nightmare weight of it all being experienced by one person. We are told that's what Jesus faced. The burden of brokenness falling on someone who had never known any hint of guilt in his life. The Apostle Paul put it this way, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. And later he said, he who knew no sin became sin for our sake. And that's the point. Because of this Lamb, you will know the smile and the grace of God shining on your life. no matter how much you have messed up. You will know God's loving embrace around you. The Lamb on that throne in heaven took the brokenness and gave us forgiveness in exchange. And all of heaven sees the extent of this love, and everybody in heaven cries out, "You are worthy, for you were slain." Then there's a second thing. Jesus the Lamb is praised with these words, "You are worthy because you ransomed for God all the saints." Today in our news, if we get off the front page and into some of the deeper pages of the newspaper, we can hear about Christians being kidnapped and ransomed around the world, in Haiti, in Nigeria, around the Mediterranean. John's people were familiar with this ransom idea too. In the first century, many people ended up trapped into slavery. Maybe their side lost in a war. Maybe they got into deep debt and they were imprisoned. Theoretically, people who were imprisoned could get their freedom back if they could pay enough money. But a slave didn't have much chance to earn money. Now, somebody else might show up to pay the ransom for them, as some mission groups try to do to slaves around the world today. But that didn't happen very often, and slaves generally lived and died their whole lives knowing their freedom was just out of reach. They couldn't pay the ransom. Here's a picture from our era of what it might look like. Do you remember the movie Schindler's List? Oskar Schindler sees a whole race of people heading for destruction, and he realizes that he could use his resources, his factory, his money, he could buy back human lives from the Nazis. He could save people from death. And so he does that. There's a scene in which a group of people are coming to his factory, but they're being separated. Families are being torn apart. Children and wives are being put on another train. They're on their way to their destruction. Oskar Schindler goes to the Nazi officer and pours out a little bag of diamonds into his hand and says, "I want to buy those people too." At the end of the movie, when the war is over and the concentration camps are liberated, Schindler is surrounded by hundreds of lives that he saved, and it could and should have been a joyful moment for him. But the thought hits him of all the lives that were lost. And he breaks down and he says, "I could have done more. I could have sold this car." He takes off a piece of jewelry and he says, "I could have sold this. I could have bought another life, maybe two. I'd give everything I have to save one more life, to buy every life that I can." It's a powerful moment. And really, what it is a picture of the heart of God who says, "I will give up everything I have to buy every life that I can." Paul says to us, reflecting on Jesus, the Lamb's work on the cross, "You were bought with a price." Peter, another disciple, says, "You know that you were ransomed, not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish." John says to us, in our discouragement, our despair, look again at the throne of God. All of heaven is gathered around it, and everyone is singing, "You are worthy. By your blood you ransomed for God all the saints." John says, look closely at the throne of God. Jesus ransomed for God people from every tribe and language and people and nation. All sorts of people are there gathered around singing praise to Jesus. All kinds of people. Because the Lamb has done this, there is no more separation. There's no more Jew versus Gentile, no more black versus white, no more Trump supporter, Trump hater conflicts, no more Republicans and Democrats, but every people and language and tribe and nation united around the victorious, loving, self-sacrificing Lamb of God. It makes me think of a favorite event that I've attended every year for the last 26 years. It's called the Leadership Summit. It's grown from a few thousand people to over 150,000 people gathering for 2 days of leadership development from over 100 countries. New Zealand, Australia, South Africa, Nigeria, England, Ireland, Germany, Mexico, Korea, North and South. I've talked to people from all of these nations as we've gathered together to sharpen our skills in leadership development so that the church might grow. The heart of a follower of Christ just fills with joy when he thinks of all the people gathered together from every tribe and language and people and nation. Do you embrace that diversity? Does that sound like good news to you? It sure does to me. Do you seek and celebrate that kind of diversity in your own life experiences? Because worthy is the Lamb who sets this kind of unity in motion. He conquered sin by taking on death itself, even death on a cross. He conquered mortality by rising from the grave. So worthy is this Lamb, worthy of our hopes, our dreams, our faith, worthy of our worship, worthy of our lives, worthy of our allegiance. Amen.